Good to be here with you all tonight. And I prayed just a minute ago. I'm a pastor, so I'm always praying. It seems like up in front of people. But let me pray for us again tonight as we begin. Father, you have given us a very awesome task to raise up children. Really, they're your children, Lord. You've just entrusted us to be stewards. We pray we would be faithful in how we raise them, that we would raise them up in the Lord, as your word calls us to, steeped in your truth, soaked and saturated and marinated in the truth of the gospel and your whole counsel revealed to us in Scripture. Help us to further that tonight. We thank you for the work of Heritage. We pray that this would be a good year, and we pray that you would be with us now, that you bless our time together. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a new school year is underway, and what I want to do is encourage you as this new school year begins. I know every school year brings with it all kinds of challenges, you know, very daunting challenges. The task of educating children is huge. The task of parenting is huge. And so I want to encourage you, and I especially want to encourage you as this new school year begins to pray for wisdom. But I want to give shape to that prayer that I want you to offer. I think we'd all agree Christian parenting takes wisdom, takes a great deal of wisdom. Christian education takes wisdom. That's really at the center of what we're doing. We know that if we're going to impart wisdom, we've got to be wise ourselves. So we're pursuing wisdom. And then we have to pass this wisdom along to our children. But sometimes I don't think we fully understand just what wisdom entails and how hard it can be. There's a reason why Scripture calls us to ask for wisdom, to plead with God to give us wisdom, because wisdom is hard to come by. Have any of you heard the name Eugen Rosenstock Huessy? Does that name ring a bell? Okay, I see a few. There's a few of you here and there. But he's not a household name. I understand that. Eugen Rosenstock Huessy was a Dartmouth professor back in the early to mid-1900s. He was a Christian philosopher. He did a lot of teaching, a lot of writing, and he had a lot of really off-the-wall ideas, but he had a lot of really profound insights that he came up with along the way as well. And he said something really, really profound about the Christian life, about the shape of the Christian life, something that I think really applies very directly to parenting. And it may be a little hard to catch on what he's saying right at first, but if you stick with me, I think you'll get it. He said that we are stretched out on what he called the cross of reality. The cross of reality. So think about a cross. You got two axes. You got the two cross pieces. And so a cross points in four different directions. And he said we are constantly being pulled by God in these four different directions. And the whole of the Christian life is moving simultaneously in these four different directions. The four different directions: on one axis, you have the past and the future. On the other axis, you have insiders and outsiders. So let me unpack some of this, and you'll kind of see what this means, and then you'll see how it applies directly to education and what it has to do with the life of wisdom and our need for wisdom. We're obligated to the past. You know, that's one of the four corners. We're obligated to the past. You know, one thing we want to do as educators is we want to carry forward tradition. We want to transmit a heritage, a legacy to our children. Habits, customs, rituals, these can be things that are as simple as customs we have in our own families. Or they can be those really big picture kinds of things. You know, it's our family history, but it's also ultimately church history. The legacy of what God is doing in the world as he moves from one generation to the next. That whole story of God's people. We want to transmit that whole history, that whole tradition to our children. And yet, that's only a part of what we're called to do in educating our children. We're also called to train our children and prepare our children to live in a future that is very different from the past. Education has to be future-oriented, or it's really not education at all. After all, the 21st century is very different from the 19th century, which is very different from the 16th century, which is very different from the 4th century, and you can go back to the BC period. The future is going to be different. It's not going to look just like the past, and real education is going to prepare our children to live in that future, to face its challenges as godly men and women. So they're stretched in the past, and we're stretched into the future. But we can also talk about the other axis of the cross, insiders and outsiders. We have to train our children in their duties and in their responsibilities to what you could call their in-group. Think about their family, their duties, their responsibilities to us as their parents and to their siblings and to close friends. We have to train them in their duties and responsibilities that they have to their church community. You know, the New Testament gives all kinds of commands that we're to carry out, the one anothering commands. We're to one another, one another. We're to love one another and pray for one another and encourage one another and forgive one another and admonish one another. All these commands. Responsibilities we have to insiders, to those that we're part of the same group with them, the same covenantal community, if I can call it that. So we've got these responsibilities to insiders, but we also know from the whole of Scripture we have a responsibility to outsiders as well. And we have to train our children to fulfill these responsibilities as well. Responsibilities to those on the outside, which you could think of as our mission. Cultural engagement, how we engage the world around us. Education that doesn't prepare our children to do that is not really education. They've got to know how to engage and interact with the mainstream media and pop culture that surrounds us. How to engage Islam, how to engage secularism, how to engage with the different kinds of idolatries, the different worldviews, the different philosophies they're going to encounter at the university. If they go that route, if they go to college, or just out there in the working place, they're going to encounter false philosophies, ungodly or idolatrous ways of living. They've got to know how to interact with that. And, of course, we might think of evangelism as a part of that, how to defend the faith, apologetics, and also evangelism, how to share the faith. But it also includes serving outsiders, things like mercy ministry to the poor. The kind of community service that God calls us to do in our wider community, you know, in the city or place where God has called us to live, so that we can really be salt and light. If we don't do this, we're hiding that light under a bushel, the very thing Jesus says not to do. So you've got this cross, and we're pulled in these four different directions. The problem is, it seems there are different things we're called to do that just aren't compatible with one another. They're incompatible and they seem contradictory. So how do you do this? How can you possibly manage to balance all these pressures, all these demands, to move in these four different directions at once? Do you just protect your children? You know, you seek to protect your children and build a wall, a hedge between your children and the outside world, so you cut off all outside influence. Now, that sounds really safe. That sounds like a really safe way to parent. But then you start to realize, you know, if you just do that, your kids are never going to mature. And they're certainly never going to be able to play their role in the mission God has given to his church. At some point, you've got to let your kids go. At some point, you turn them loose into the world. At some point, they're sent out into the world. But we also know if we push them out into the world too soon, if we expose them too soon to too much worldly influence, well, then they're very likely to be drawn away. They're going to be corrupted by the world. So how do you balance this, you know, this inside versus outside tension? Or if you just focus on preserving the past, you know, that's great. You know, your kids will have a deeply rooted identity that way. They will learn to honor their heritage. They'll have a deep sense of history. And you want to pass all that on to your kids. But if you just do that, then pretty soon you start to realize, you know, God's called my children to serve in their generation, the emerging generation, which is going to look very different than the past. They've got to learn how to apply his word to new situations and new problems and new kinds of challenges. And so just educating in the past is not enough. Education's got to point to the future as well, prepare our children for the future. But if you swing to the other extreme and you just focus on the future, then what's going to happen is your children will be rootless. They won't have any sense of identity. They won't know who they are. They'll lose that sense of identity, and they will be easily swayed by every new trend and fad to come down the pike. They won't be able to shape the future because they'll just be carried along by it. They won't be able to deal with things as they should. So you see these different tensions. How do we hold all of this together? The inside versus the outside, the past versus the future. You know, part of the problem, I think, is that we tend to gravitate, just naturally, in terms of our personalities and our backgrounds and so forth, we tend to gravitate towards one extreme or the other on each axis of the cross. In fact, you see this not just in individuals and in families. You really see it, I think, in different churches, different denominations. So, you know, for example, I'm a Presbyterian pastor and very much a part of the Presbyterian tradition. Presbyterians are known historically for being very inward focused, very focused on the in-group. That's how we got the not-so-flattering nickname, the Frozen Chosen. You know, you ever heard that about Presbyterians? The Frozen Chosen. Well, this is why we're focused on the past. We're focused on our heritage. We're focused on the in-group. You know, we're focused on the in-group, so we're good at discipleship. But because we're focused on the in-group, often at the expense of the out-group, we're not so good at evangelism, at getting the word out, at doing the mission. You know, we're focused on the past, on our heritage and our confessional legacy. And we know our great heroes, you know, John Knox and John Calvin and all the others that make up the great, you know, Presbyterian story, the Presbyterian history, that heritage we're a part of. But a lot of times we have a really hard time figuring out how to apply that truth that we have to new problems, new situations in the culture, in the world that we live in today. And so very often we found ourselves being, I think you could say, almost irrelevant and unable to really reach people with the gospel today. So we have this tendency to focus on the inside group and on the past, and we ignore outsiders in the future. On the other hand, you know, you might look at the Baptist church, and in Baptist circles I've been familiar with in the past, you know, they're usually pretty good at dealing with that outside group, really good at getting the word out, really good at doing evangelism. But again, that often comes at the expense of other things. So just like different Christian denominations can move to one part of the cross, you know, sort of gravitate towards one end of the cross at the expense of the others instead of living in that tension, families can do the same thing. And this is one of the things, you know, as homeschooling families, one thing you really want to check yourself for. You know, are we moving towards one end of the cross at the expense of the other? My prayer for you at the start of a new school year is that you would have wisdom. Because wisdom is what it takes to live out the cross of reality, to live on the cross of reality. My prayer is that you would allow yourself to be stretched to all four corners of the cross, that you would move in these four directions at the same time, in your own life and with your children, that you would understand this is what God calls you to. This is who God calls you to be, to move in these four directions at the same time. And understand, it's hard. It is not easy to do this. This pulls you out of your comfort zone very, very quickly. This means that you've got to be willing to sacrifice. You know, it'll feel like you're being torn as you're being stretched out on that cross of reality. It'll feel like you're being crucified in some ways at times. And I think that you could even say this is part of what Jesus is getting at when he says, take up your cross and follow me. Because to live this way in these four different directions is to live a sacrificial life. It's to live a cruciform life, a life that's just not about yourself, but a life that's about others, a life that is centered on the kingdom of God. To do this means you've got to grow. It means you've got to grow as a person in different ways because, you know, the reality is, as parents, we can't pass along anything to our children that we don't first possess ourselves. And so if you want to pass this on to your children, this cross of reality, so your children will move in these four directions at the same time, you've got to be growing and learning how to do it more and more yourself. This is what real maturation and real faithfulness look like. The life of the cross, really you could say life on the cross, moving in these four different directions at once. A respect for the past and an openness to the future God is calling us to. A care for the in-group, but also a mission to the out-group. That's what God calls us to. And one little tidbit here I'll throw in as I conclude. The key really to doing this, in a way you could say it's timing. You know, Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there is a time for everything under the sun. There's a time for everything. So, you know, there is a time to build walls around your children and to keep outside influences away, to build up that hedge. But there's also a time to push your children out, to give them that freedom and to send them out into the world. And knowing when to do what, that's wisdom. And it's not even going to be the same for every child in your household, most likely, how that works, how that dynamic plays out. It's not going to be the same from one household to the next. There's no formula for this. You know, if there was, we wouldn't need wisdom. But there's not, so we do need wisdom. There's a time to focus on the past, and there's a time to prepare for the future, to open ourselves up to the future, to prepare ourselves to live in a world that's going to look very different from the past. But see, knowing how to do that, how much of of the past do we carry with us, and how do we apply the past to the future, and what kinds of things should we do in the future? All that takes wisdom. It's all about wisdom. Now, that sounds really daunting. It certainly does to me. I think it probably does to you as well. But here's the encouragement. Scripture tells us that when we cry out to God for wisdom, God gives us wisdom. That's a prayer that God delights to answer when his people call out for wisdom. And so I can assure you that if you cry out to God for wisdom, so you can learn to live on this cross of reality, so you can learn to pull your kids in these four different directions at the same time as well, so they can learn to live on the cross of reality. If you'll pray for wisdom in that way, I can assure you that is a prayer God will delight to answer. God delights to give wisdom to his people. And I don't know what you would say, but I would say parents on a day-to-day basis need more wisdom than just about anybody, you know, doing anything else. I mean, of any calling in the world, the call to raise a child, to educate children, requires an incredible amount of wisdom. Thankfully, God himself is a storehouse in wisdom. He's infinite in wisdom. He can supply what we lack. Let's pray together. Lord, as this new school year gets underway, you know that we do face many daunting challenges. Father, we want to be what you call us to be. We want to do what you call us to do. We want to form and shape the children you have entrusted to us. We want to help them to grow and to mature. We want to help them to be well-rounded so they can serve as fruitful and faithful servants in your kingdom. We want them to develop and mature spiritually and academically and physically in every way. Father, you have laid great demands on us as parents and as educators. You've called us to protect our children from a hostile and toxic culture that surrounds us, but you've also called us to send our children into that culture when the time is right so they can live in a countercultural way, so they can be salt and light, so they can transform the world. Father, you've given to us a great legacy. We have stories to tell, traditions to maintain, heroes to celebrate, customs to pass on. But Father, you also call us to shape the future, to ready ourselves for the future, to understand the times we live in, and to know that the world we're in right now is very different than the world of the past. We pray that our children may even be some of the heroes of the next generation, that they would be bold and faithful and how they witness to your kingdom, and how they serve you in the world. Lord, we pray that you would hold all of this together, that you would help us to tie all of these responsibilities together by giving us great wisdom, wisdom that only you can impart. We pray that you would fill us with wisdom from your word, that you would help us to know when to do what and how to do it, that you would help us to trust you and not to lean on our own understanding. Help us to rely always on the truth of your word. Help us to fear you, for we know in fearing you, you grant wisdom. Encourage us as this new school year begins. Encourage us as we continue this work of shepherding and shaping and nurturing our children. Father, would you make this next year a great success in your eyes? Would you make our work as parents a great success in your eyes? This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.